हरि जय राम। जय ओम इष्टपाद परमहंस परिव्राज कचार्य श्रोतर श्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की ताई गौर प्रेमानंदी। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम कैंटो 2 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 27। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। दिस इज अ डिस्क्रिप्शन ऑफ द यूनिवर्सल फॉर्म। द्वेजानुनि सुतलं विश्वमूर्तेर। वी वांट टू टर्न ऑफ वन ऑफ द लाइट्स। आर इट विजिबल टू ऑल ऑफ यू देयर? कैन यू सी दिस? ओके। उरुद्वयं वितलं चातलं च महीतलं तज्जघनं महीपते। नभस्तलं नाभिसरो गृणन्ति। द्वे जानुनि सुतलं विश्वमूर्तेर। उरुद्वयं वितलं चातलं च महीतलं तज्जघनं महीपते। नभस्तलं नाभिसरो गृणन्ति। द्वे जानुनि सुतलं विश्वमूर्तेर। उरुद्वयं वितलं चातलं च महीतलं तज्जघनं महीपते। नभस्तलं नाभिसरो गृणन्ति। Vaishnavis, dve, two, januni, two knees, sutalam, the planetary system named Sutala, Vishwamurte, the universal form. Urudvayam, the two thighs. Vitalam, the planetary system named Vitala. also. Atalam, the planets named Atala. Cha and Mahitalam, the planetary system named Mahitala. Tat, of that. Jaghanam, the hips. Mahipate, O king. Nabhastalam, outer space. Nabhisaraha, the depression of the navel. Grunanti, they take it so. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. There's no purport here. The knees of the universal form are the planetary system of the name Sutala. And the two thighs are the Vitala and Atala planetary systems. The hips are Mahitala and outer space is the depression of his navel. Text 28. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace is Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The chest of the original personality of the gigantic form is the luminary planetary system. His neck is the Mahar planets, his mouth is the Janas planets, and his forehead is the Tapas planetary system. The topmost planetary system known as Satya Loka is the head of he who has 1,000 heads. The effulgent luminary planets like the sun and the moon are situated almost in the mid-space of the universe, and as such they are to be known as the chest of the original gigantic form of the Lord. And above the luminary planets, called also the heavenly places of the universal directorate demigods, are the Mahar, Janas and Tapas planetary systems. And above all, the Satyaloka planetary system, where the chief administrators of the modes of material nature reside, namely Vishnu, Brahma and Shiva. This Vishnu is known as the Shirodaksha Vishnu, and he acts as a super soul in every living being. There are innumerable universes floating on the causal ocean, and each of them, the representation of the Virat form of the Lord, is there, along with innumerable suns, moons, heavenly demigods, Brahmas, Vishnus and Shivas, all of them situated in one part of the inconceivable potency of Lord Krishna, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita. Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjanishalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So today morning, I'll discuss on the topic of understanding the universal form and its contradictory descriptions. So, understanding universal form, the Virat Rupa, and specifically contradictions within his descriptions. So I'll take this in four broad parts. I hope everybody can see this. Thank you. So first will be, these are three, four C's, contextualization. We'll try to see the context in which Bhagavatam is speaking this particular section. Then second, I'll talk about the conceptualization, that how the Bhagavatam's description of the universal form is a conceptualization for the spiritual seeker. Then we'll discuss about the contradiction in the description of the universal form. And lastly, we'll discuss about connection of the soul with God, which is the ultimate purpose of everything in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So let's begin with the contextualization. The Bhagavatam is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And in one sense, its purpose is one. Its purpose is to help Parikshit Maharaj remember Krishna. He is preparing for death and he wants to do Ante Narayana Smriti. And therefore, Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Mamanusmaryudhichi. Always remember the Lord. Now, why is remembering Krishna so difficult at one level? Because Krishna is not visible in front of us. Generally, if a person is with us, we are seeing that person, it's relatively easier to remember. So, there's a common saying, out of sight is out of mind. Of course, it is not always true. We also have separation makes the heart grow fonder. So if our mind is locked in something, then out of sight may not lead to out of mind. But generally, it's easier to remember something when we can see it. So now Krishna is invisible. Krishna is adhokshaja. So Krishna exists at the spiritual level of reality. And we exist at the material level of reality. So, now the question is, how can we remember Krishna? So, the Bhagavatam broadly gives two approaches. One is what you can call as the bottom-up approach, where we use matter to point us toward Krishna. And the other is the top-down approach, where Krishna descends to the world of matter, to the material world. So if you see, the Bhagavatam's most celebrated pastimes are centered on the second approach. So the second approach, the top-down approach, is described as Avatar Leela. The pastimes of the Lord are described. And there are many, many avatars that are described. Many are mentioned and several are described. And one is described elaborately. Who is that? Krishna, yes. So we have Avatar Leela. There is many mentioned. There is a list of avatars mentioned in the first canto. And again mentioned in the second canto. And then there are several that are described. So we have Narasimha, we have Ram described to some extent. And we also have Varaha, Vamana. They are described to some extent. There are Puranas devoted to them. But here there is one is elaborately described. So Krishna Leela has 90 chapters directly in the Bhagavatam. And Krishna Shiksha, which is there in the next canto, 11th canto, also has around 25 chapters. So it's by far the biggest description. But the Bhagavatam also has this approach of we use matter to point to spirit. When matter points to spirit. So the idea is that we are surrounded by the material world. And we are going to encounter material objects. Even if somebody renounces the world, still the world of matter is going to be there as long as their material existence. So for helping us point from matter to spirit, the Bhagavatam gives us three meditations. These three meditations come respectively in the second canto, third canto and the fifth canto. The second canto is what we are discussing. This is the Virata Rupa. So when we see the majesty of nature, and that reminds us of the majesty of God, the magnificence of God. And in that way, our consciousness is pointed towards God. Prabhupada says, in his book On the Way to Krishna, he says, knowledge comes from Krishna. In fact, he says, all knowledge comes from Krishna, but all knowledge doesn't begin with Krishna. That means, Mattaha Smutir Jnanam Apohanam Cha, 15.15 in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that everything, all knowledge comes from Him. But it is rare that one day a person wakes up and thinks, oh, I want to know about God. Generally, knowledge begins not from Krishna, but from the world around us. Somebody may look at this night sky and see its magnificent vastness and its incredible beauty with stars shining in the night sky like twinkling ornaments. And one may wonder, where did this come from? And that may point a person's mind towards God. So knowledge begins from the world around us. And the Bhagavatam acknowledges that premise, and therefore it states that we can look at the vastness of the world and conceptualize it as a form of God. So we'll discuss it later more, but this is one approach, Virata Rupa. In the third canto, there's the approach of Sankhya, where one analyzes the material world into its components and then understands that all these components have their source in some transcendental source, that is Krishna. So, the analysis of matter, when you look at its source, its sustenance and its destination, we understand that ultimately matter is also pointing us toward Krishna. And in the fifth canto, there is the universe, the Brahmanda. So that is specifically the cosmology. So that, if you see, from chapters 15 to 25 in the fifth canto, there is a description of the cosmos. But within cosmology, cosmography is specific dimensions. They are less than 5%. Okay, this planet is from this distance to this distance, this planet is from this distance to that distance, or this planet is of this size. Most of it is, okay, there's some description of Jambudvipa, and then how all the residents of Jambudvipa are offering prayers to the Supreme Lord. So the focus is on telling Parikshit Maharaj that everywhere in the universe there is dharma and devotion. And therefore you should also practice dharma and devotion. That's the implication. So basically, from, like, say, if we come to a Krishna conscious center, say, okay, this seems to be interesting, strange. Well, I don't know what to make of it. But then you, suppose in Mayapur we have a world map and we show, okay, there are hundreds of centers all over the world. Centers in America and Russia and Africa. Hey, really? This bhakti is being practiced all over the world? That increases our credibility in the eyes, increases faith in our eyes. So similarly, it's being told that the whole universe is filled with dharma and devotion. So basically, these are three approaches by which the Bhagavatam is pointing us from matter to spirit and the Supreme Spirit Krishna. The first among them is the description of the universal form. Now, the Virata Rupa, that theme keeps repeating in the Bhagavatam in the prayers of many characters. But specific description of this as a tool for meditation comes in this section. So that's the first point of contextualization. This is an aid for Parikshit Maharaj to meditate on the Supreme Lord. What was the second point we're going to discuss? Anyone remember? Conceptualization. Thank you. So what does this mean, conceptualization? See, there's a universal form is described in two broad places. The universal form in the Gita and then the universal form in the Bhagavatam. Now, the universal form of the Gita is more of a revelation. A revelation means it is top down. Krishna is telling
Divyam dadamite chakshuhu pashyame yogamaishwaram.
He says, I will give you this vision by which you can see. So Krishna is revealing the universal form. And that's why whenever Krishna reveals, there are special people who get to see it. Dhritarashtra requests that eyes can see it. So, but the Bhagavatam's universal form, although terms sometimes used the same, it's more of a bottom-up approach. It's a conceptualization. That means the yogi is, the spiritual seeker is meditating and contemplating and analyzing how the various aspects of the universe, they represent the body of the Lord. So the Bhagavatam says the word kalpitaha. Now kalpana means imagination. Kalpitaha means imagined. Now sometimes we have almost a phobia towards the word imagination. You know, oh, there's nothing imagined. Should not imagine anything. Don't speculate anything. So when we see this word imagined, this kalpitaha, it can be a little agitating. What does it mean, it's kalpitaha? That just like we have the description of Sarvam Bhattacharya after he became a devotee, then when he heard the word Mukti Pade Sadaya Bhak, what did he want to change it to? Bhakti Pade Sadaya Bhak. Why? Because sometimes when somebody has come from a particular place and they've gone to a better place, everything associated with the previous place, we start feeling there's something wrong with it. So what happened is, we live in the material world. There is so many imaginary things in the world. For example, the entire entertainment industry is based on imaginary things, isn't it? So it's all based on imagining, oh, this hero is dancing with this heroine, and if I would be there, it would be so nice. And that's why when people are watching movies or they're watching TV, generally want to have something like popcorn to eat. Why? Because everything is imaginary, something has to be real. So the point is that is the imaginary world. I mean, this world is at one level real, but it's filled with Maya. And then we are trying to come to the spiritual level. So we are trying to come to the spiritual level, the spiritual world, and we understand this to be the ultimate reality. So when we are thinking of moving this way, then we almost develop a phobia for the imaginary. Oh, the spiritual world is not imaginary. And I'm not chasing something imaginary. What is imaginary in this world? And the spiritual world is authentic. It exists. It is revealed in the scriptures by the sages. So, yes, that concern that we should not speculate, that we should not be misled by imaginary ideas, that is good. No doubt. At the same time, bhakti in particular and spirituality in general, bhakti means that we use all our gifts in Krishna's service. And if we are going to use all our gifts, then power of imagination is also a gift. Kalpana, just like we have Smarana Shakti, like that is Kalpana Shakti. Not everybody can imagine things vividly. So those who have the capacity to imagine vividly. See, there are two things when you talk about imagination, the power of imagination. Everybody can imagine. You know, people can watch a movie and they can imagine this or that. But the power of imagination directed in an intentional, conscious way. Okay, I'm at this place and a builder may think, okay, I want to build a building over here. And then they have a mental picture of how you're going to build the building. So that power of imagination, if somebody comes to a home, okay, now we could have a picture over here, a frame over here. Now we could have our house over here. We could have this over here. We could have this over here. That's power of imagination. And by the power of imagination, we manifest beauty and things of beauty in this world. So
power. Not everybody has the power of imagination. But those who are designers, those who are artists, they have a special power of imagination. And if bhakti is to be truly inclusive, then it should provide us potential to use even the power of imagination. And this use of power of imagination is vivid in the idea in bhakti of manasa puja. Manasa puja means, let's say, if somebody wants to make a wonderful offering to the Lord, maybe they want to offer a jewel necklace to the Lord, but they don't have the money to offer a jewel necklace. Then if they're passing by jeweler's shop, they see a beautiful necklace. They may think, oh, this will look so beautiful on the Lord's neck. And they may visualize, Krishna, in my mind, I offer this to you. So visualization can also be a way of bhakti. And of course, manas puja is not an excuse for physical puja, for sharik puja. We should go to the temple and offer, make practical offerings whenever we can. But when we can't, then manas puja is also accepted. So in the path of yoga, there is sampragyat samadhi and asampragyat samadhi. So before a person can just meditate on the spiritual reality, often they are told to meditate on some symbol, some tangible object that represents the spiritual reality. So the idea is, sometimes you can have that object externally and sometimes you can visualize that object internally. So here, when a more comforting word for us would be not imagination, but visualization. So here, that same visualization, that visualization is important anga in the path of yoga also. Not one of the eight limbs, but one of the stages in the, another sub stages in the journey from dhyan dharana towards samadhi, where one visualizes. So here in the meditation in the Virat Rupa, this is a visualization, like concepts. Basically, most concepts are mental constructs. They may connect with some reality, but the concepts are what has come from our mind. And so the idea is that there is a connection between concepts and reality. Just like yesterday was India's Independence Day. So now, India is a physical object. But Indian citizenship, you know, you could say, okay, I have an Aadhaar card, I have a passport which shows I am an Indian citizen. That's fine. I was born in India, therefore I am an Indian citizen. That is fine. But the idea that I am an Indian citizen, or the idea of citizenship of a country, it's a concept. You know, a dog may be living in India, the dog doesn't think I am an Indian citizen. Isn't it? The dog is not going to stand up and Jana Gana Mana Adhinayaka Jaya. And if the dog doesn't stand up, we are not going to do a court case against it. Isn't it? So, there is a reality. There is a reality. And there is a concept that links us with reality. But still, the concept and reality are two different things. The reality, we could say, is it can be physical. Like, there's a physical territory, India. Or the reality can also be spiritual. We'll discuss what that means. But the concept is primarily mental. So, we use mental constructs, we conceptualize to get a better handle on physical reality. So, concepts help us. So, for example, if, say, we look at different people and based on their facial constructs, you may say, okay, this person looks like a Korean or a Chinese or a Japanese person. Somebody else, you might say, okay, this person looks like an Asian person. This person looks like maybe African. So now, it's not that the person is born with that designation African, Chinese or something like that, Japanese. No, that's a conceptual construct that does reflect a physical reality. But it's a conceptual construct. So similarly, the Virata Rupa, it's a conceptual construct. It is that there is, that God pervades all of existence. That is the factual reality. Prabhupada quotes, Atava bahunaitena kim jnatena tava arjuna. Vishthabhyaham idam krishnam ekam shena stito jagat. Prabhupada quotes 10:42 in the Bhagavad Gita here, which is the verse which leads to Arjuna asking the question due to which Krishna will reveal the universal form in the 11th chapter. So there is the understanding that the whole universe is pervaded by God. So if you consider, this is the universe, the entire universe, it's permeated with Krishna's presence. He is not only andantarastha, paramanu chayantarastham. So in that sense, because Krishna is the soul of the universe. So Garbhodakshaya Vishu is like the soul of the universe, and the entire universe, we could say, is in one sense like the body of God. So at a conceptual level, it is true that the universe is the body of God. So there is a reality over there. But that reality is not a simply literal reality. So it is not simply literal. What do I mean by that? In the universal planetary, in the universe, whether in the material existence entirely or the spiritual existence, there is no such place, as far as the scriptures are described, or as far as I have read the scriptures, where there is a Virat Rupa Loka. There is no one planet where the entire Virat Rupa resides eternally. No. There are various planets, there are various beings which reside in the planets, and the Lord is present as the sustainer of all of existence. But there is no such thing as a Virat Rupa Loka. So, when Krishna wants to reveal the universal form, he shows that vision. When a seeker wants to contemplate on the Lord through the grandness of matter, at that time the seeker focuses, visualizes. So in that sense, the Virat Rupa is a conceptualization. It is Kalpitaha. So it is imagined. But here, we'll conclude this section on Kalpitaha with one important point. This is the material level of reality, the spiritual level of reality. So when we say Kalpitaha, conceptualization, what are we doing? We are using imagination to take us toward reality. So imagination can take us away from reality. So I'm sitting here physically, and if I start thinking I'm a billionaire, that's daydreaming. That's imagination taking me away from reality. But imagination can also take us toward the ultimate reality. Prabhupada says in a lecture that, you can imagine that there is a throne in your heart, and that the divine couple, Radha and Krishna, are seated over there. You can imagine vividly. And Prabhupada says, actually that's not imagination, that is the reality. So the Lord is present in our hearts. But right now we don't see Him. So we visualize, we imagine His presence. So that we can use our imagination to take us closer to reality. That is conceptualization. So that is what is done in the Srimad Bhagavatam in this section. Now that brings me to the third part. Anyone remember what is the third part? Sorry? Yes, thank you. Contradiction. So here it is said, if you look at this particular verse, what it says is that the luminary planets, the chest of the original personality of Godhead, is the luminary planetary system. That is, Urasthalam Jyotir Anikamasya. Now, Prabhupada uses the luminary planets to refer to the sun and the moon. So, in this particular description, so second canto, the sun, moon are described to be the chest. But in the 11th chapter of the Gita, the sun, moon are described to be the Sashi Surya Netram, the eyes of the Lord, eyes of the universal form. So why this difference? That if it is the same universal form, why are there contradictions? So now, and this is not just a cross, like an intertextual contradiction. And the Bhagavatam describes one thing and the Bhagavata describes one thing. If you read the Bhagavatam itself, there is intra-textual contradiction also.
So when contradiction is there, there can be intertextual. That means two texts, two different texts for Gita and Bhagavatam, they say opposite things. But there can also be intratextual contradiction.
That means the same text at different places is saying different things. So the Bhagavatam, when it describes the universal form, the Virat Rupa, here it describes in a particular way. In the sixth canto, say when the devatas are offering prayers so that they can get Vishnu to intervene on their behalf to fight against Vritrasura. At that time they describe the universal form. In the 10th canto, Akrura describes the universal form. And if you look at these descriptions, they are not identical. There are some differences. Some of those differences are small and insignificant. Some of those differences are glaring. So what is going on over here? So the point is that when there is conceptualization, not everybody will visualize the universal form in the same way. So when Krishna revealed the universal form to Arjuna, at that time, in that vision that was revealed to him, the Shashi and Surya were the Netra. In the conceptualization that is being provided here in the Bhagavatam, the luminaries are described to be the chest. So the point is, because it's an individual conceptualization, it's an individual exercise of one's imagination, therefore, different people, different seekers may visualize things with some differences. And that is accepted. See, everything, sometimes there is a point, and then there is the point of the point. Sometimes when some people give a class, their points seem to be interesting but disconnected. So sometimes there is a lot of humor in a class. At the end of the class, what did you like? Hey, there's so many jokes. Okay. What is the point of the joke? I forgot. I don't know. So, you know, spiritual wisdom or the caliber of a spiritual class should not be subjected to the laughter test. How good is the class? How much it made me laugh? Okay, laughing is nice. But the point is that to remember the joke and not remember the point of the joke, that is not very helpful. If we just wanted to hear jokes, we could watch comedy shows. We come to the Bhagavatam class, we come to spiritual talks to get some wisdom. So there is the point and there is the point of the point. And the point of the point is much more important than the point. Isn't it? So, remember the point, that is good. If you remember this, that's good. But if you remember the point of the point, that is great. That is the important thing. Sometimes you remember a story, sometimes you remember an example, and then we don't remember, what is the point of this? And we can't use it much. So, like that, see, there are details and there are principles.
So with respect to the universal form also, so there are details. And the details will vary.
Right? Okay, which organ of the universal form, which part of the universal form correlates with which part of the universe? Those details can vary.
But the principle is unvarying. It is the same. The principle is that from matter, so use matter to remember spirit. To remember spirit, specifically the supreme spiritual reality. So the principle is one, from matter to spirit. Now specifically, you can have different visualizations. Somebody may visualize in one way, somebody may visualize in another way. So all these, there can be variation in visualization. So, and that is why sometimes there can be contradiction in the description. So, this is the third part, that is the contradiction. And that brings us to the last part of the talk. Anyone remember what was that? Thank you. Connection.
You kept connection with the class throughout. Thank you, Prabhu. So now connection means, as I said, I started in the beginning by saying the purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is to help Parikshit Maharaj to remember Krishna, and by extension to provide all of us resources for connecting with Krishna. So the Bhagavatam's purpose is to provide us all resources for remembrance. So everything in the Bhagavatam is a resource. Now, among the various resources, which resources do we use? So we all need to be resourceful. Resourceful in remembrance. That means that, okay, if I'm in a temple, there are the deities, there are the devotees, there are the pictures, there's a whole atmosphere which helps me remember God. But if I go out of the temple, I go out of the home, I'm in the streets, I'm in the local, I'm at my workplace, how do I remember Krishna at that time? So I need to have resources that help me remember. I might learn some kirtan song, kirtan tunes, and I might just hum the kirtans. I might remember some songs about Krishna and sing the Vaishnava songs. I might have some notes where I can read the verses, read the points. I can have some earphone where I can hear some talks or some music. So basically, we need to be resourceful. And when we are resourceful, that just doesn't mean being full of resources. It means being full of the knowledge of which resource to use when. Somebody is resourceful, somebody's house may be full of resources, but they may not be very resourceful. Like somebody has to go out for some errand. Some person might be wealthy, they may have 25 cars. But they don't know, they spend 25 minutes deciding which car to drive. Okay, somebody has hundreds of clothes, and then they agonize which cloth which dress to wear. Resourceful doesn't simply mean full of resources. Rather, it means full of knowledge about which resource to use when. So similarly for us, we need to be resourceful in our Krishna Bhakti, that what can help me best remember Krishna. So whichever section of the Bhagavatam nourishes our remembrance of Krishna the most, that we can focus on. We respect and read and serve all sections of the Bhagavatam. But as a personal connection, we may be able to connect with certain sections more. And we can focus on those sections. It is said about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that there were two sections of the Bhagavatam which he would love to hear dozens and dozens and scores of times. Does anyone know which were those two sections? Sorry, Prahlad Maharaj? Dhruv Maharaj, yes, thank you. Now we may say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radharani himself. And he has come to teach Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So why is it not said that Mahaprabhu would love to hear the Rasa Panchadhyaya or some other pastime of the Gopi Gita? Well, there could be many reasons. Maybe he wanted to set an example for all of us. But if that was the purpose, then he could have chosen any pastime. Why these two particular pastimes? Isn't it? So there is a room in bhakti for personal preference. And this personal preference is the way we individually connect with Krishna. So each one of us may find that certain sections of the Bhagavatam infuse within us, the remembrance of the Lord. And you could say, among the resources for remembrance, there are some resources which we give strength. That means that we hear some kirtan or we like some devotee's class. When we just hear that class, we feel so enriched, we feel so energized. That gives us strength. But there are some resources for remembrance that require strength. That means sometimes some classes may be very technical or analytical, like this one. And you may feel, oh my God, this is like an intellectual workout. I've got exhausted now. Okay, if that's what happens, then we may not prefer, if it was our option, we may choose to hear classes that nourish us. Now there could be some people who are more analytical, intellectual, and some simple katha classes, that is what will require strength for them. You know, nothing, no substance is there, no stimulation is there, no intellectual stimulation is there. And some classes where there's analysis, hey, this is what stimulates me. So what gives strength for whom and what requires strength for whom? That can vary from person to person. Mm-hmm. One of my spiritual guides, Radhesham Prabhu, he used to give systematic notes. He designed the DYS course and like this courses. So when he had made these notes and he said, now I want this for preachers so that they can preach nicely. So I said, Prabhu, if somebody gave me notes like this to speak, I would consider it an insult to my intelligence. You know, do you think I can't prepare anything myself? Do you think I just have to be I'm an unthinking robot? Radhishampu said, actually, most people would think that is a relief for their intelligence. So, most people, okay, I don't have to think, struggle and find out some points. Yeah, I got these points, I'll use the structure, I add these points from these points for here. So, what gives strength to one person may require strength. Like if somebody gives me notes and tells me you have to speak these points, you know, I'll have to make conscious effort not to speak the points that come in my mind. And restraining myself from that will require a lot of strength. So the point is what gives strength and what requires strength will vary from person to person. And that's why individuality is important. And so why am I talking about this? That the description of the Virata Rupa, or for that matter, the description of Sankhya in the third canto, or the description of the Brahmanda in the fifth canto, for some of us, that may require a lot of strength. And if that is the case, then just read it as a mood of service, but focus on those sections of the Bhagavatam which help us remember Krishna. For some of us, say somebody has always been nature loving. And for them, nature makes them feel close to God. There are people who just love to go to long treks, spend time beholding the sky. And for them, if they read the description of the universal form, they may be able to relate with that more than maybe Krishna pastime, the 10th canto. They may say, oh, these seems like children's stories, fairy tales. They may take some more time to develop Shraddha and Rati, faith and attraction for those pastimes. So the connection for them may happen more through the universal form. So we need to focus on the principle of connection and take that which is the most favorable for us in establishing our connection with Krishna. When we have that attitude, then each one of us can move positively. So recently India had this Chandrayaan, and it was probably among the live streaming of that was among the highest watched in the history of social media, or the highest watched events. And now, if we read the fifth canto cosmology and we read Prabhupada's explanations, now the idea of a spacecraft going to the moon may seem contradictory to what Prabhupada has said. Actually, Prabhupada has made 6 different kinds of statements. That Prabhupada says, maybe they went to the moon, but they didn't access the moon. If they went to the moon, they were not able to stay there. What is the point? They went there and just spent so much money and brought back some dust. What is the point of that? Maybe they tried to go there, but they were sidetracked somewhere else. You know, they didn't go out of the Earth's atmosphere at all. It was just a lab hoax. And he also says, yeah, they went there. We put so much effort in raising ourselves physically through spacecrafts. Why not put some effort to raise your consciousness upwards? So Prabhupada has made a wide variety of statements. Now, for figuring out what exactly happened, you know, how does the modern version of cosmology reconcile with the Vedic version of cosmology? In the Vedas there are many versions of cosmology. There's the Bhagavata cosmology and there's the Puranic cosmology, and there is the Jyotisha cosmology. But how do we reconcile these? Now for somebody, that may be stimulating. They are interested in cosmology, they are interested in, say, medieval or ancient cosmology, and they may get excited and stimulated. Okay, this is how this makes sense. This is how this makes sense. This is how these two can be correlated. This is where there is difference. That may energize them and that may become their service to Krishna. But for others, it may just be exhausting. figuring out, okay, you know, okay, this makes sense, this doesn't make sense. How do I figure this out? And trying to figure it out itself may be exhausting. So if it is exhausting, we don't have to think that to be faithful to Prabhupada and Shastra, I have to stick to one position only. Prabhupada has taken multiple positions. So whichever position makes the most sense to us, we take that and focus on remembering Krishna. You know, at the end of our life, Krishna is not going to ask us when we are about to die, you know, do you believe that man went to the moon or not? Krishna is going to ask, you know, what is your heart longing for? What is the deepest remembrance of our heart? So connection with Krishna is what we should be focusing on. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya sarjanam. So those which give us strength, they are anukul for us. We focus on them. Now we don't say anything is pratikul, because everything about Krishna is cool. You know, everything about Krishna connects us ultimately with the Supreme Reality. But pratikul, not in the sense that it's unfavorable, but it may be demanding for us. So we may do it occasionally, we may do it intermittently. I mean, here some technical classes sometimes, but overall, we focus on devotional classes. We focus on the kind of classes that nourish us. We focus on those aspects of bhakti that give us strength. And that way we stay connected with Krishna, we become absorbed in Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, through the Krishna Consciousness Movement, has given us so many different resources. So many devotees, so many speakers, so many books, so many projects, so many services, so many centers, through which we can all remember Krishna, stay connected with Krishna in this life, and eventually become connected with Him eternally in the life beyond. So I'll summarize what I discussed. Mainly 4 points I discussed. The first was contextualization, where we discussed how the Bhagavatam mainly has the top-down approach of describing avatars for remembering Krishna, but also has the bottom-up approach. The second canto, third canto, and fifth canto. And then the second point I discussed was conceptualization. That the Virat Rupa that is described in the Bhagavatam, unlike the Gita's universal form, the Gita's universal form is a revelation. The Bhagavatam's universal form is a conceptualization. That means it is using imagination to go towards reality. So normally when imagination is used for speculation, that takes us away from reality. But when it is used to go to reality, then that conceptualization is good. And the third point was contradiction. That the details may vary among different conceptualizations of the universal form, and that's because there is a point that may be varying, but there is a point of the point, and we need to focus on that purpose, the point of the point, that is unvarying. So the principle is we want to remember Krishna, and different devotees may different seekers may visualize differently. But the purpose of their visualization is to use matter to direct their consciousness towards spirit. And the last part was connection. So where I talked about how we need to focus on those, the Bhagavatam is filled with resources for remembrance. So there are resources which give us strength, which are positive for us. There are resources which require strength. So we focus more on these, the resources, and others we manage, we interact as a service when necessary. So some we serve, some we relish. So we need to find out in the entire array of Krishna consciousness what enables us to connect energetically, joyfully with Krishna, and leverage, maximize those connections to live in Krishna in this life and to live with Krishna in the life beyond. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Is there any one quick question? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki, Itai Gaura Premanandi. Thank you. Okay.